A few weeks ago, even before we decided to have an old-fashioned day, I did something with a friend of mine down in Ohio that sort of set the stage or inspired the message this morning. I went with him. I was down, I can't even remember where I was. It wasn't in Ohio and it wasn't in Michigan. It's someplace I've been in the past 6 weeks or so. But he happened to be in town at the very same time, and we went out for dinner together. And then he and I went to see his 96-year-old uncle that was in a nursing home, and he had not seen him for several months, and I just went along to enjoy the visit with him. And of course, as they got to talking, the talk eventually turned to the good old days, and they talked about the farm that. It was my friend's grandparents, so it would have been his uncle's mom and dad and his dad's mom and dad. And they talked about the farm that they had in Kentucky, and how they raised different crops and had some pigs and some cows, and just a good old-fashioned farm. They talked about how good it was to live in a place like that and to be raised in an environment like that. They talked about an old dog they had named Buster. And I don't have time to tell you some of the stories about Buster, but they told several stories. Now, when we got outside, I said, "Bart, have you ever heard those stories before?" He said, "I hear them every time I seem to come to see Uncle Bud." I said, "Well, but you still enjoy them, don't you?" He said, "Oh yeah, I enjoy them every time he tells me them." But they told stories about their dog Buster and how about the good old days. They had a horse that they talked about, and they talked about different things that his uncle Bud remembered when he was a boy growing up, when he was a young man, many years ago. And as we got up to leave, Uncle Bud said, "Boy, I wish we could bring back the good old days. I wish we could bring back the good old days." Now, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but that's exactly what Jeremiah was saying in Lamentations chapter 5, verse number 21, when he says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." What he was saying, "God, I wish you would bring back the good old days." You see, the good old days that Jeremiah was talking about weren't 90 years ago in his life. They weren't that very long ago. In fact, they were 35 years ago. 35 years ago, as Jeremiah pens the book of Lamentations, 35 years in the past, he was a young preacher. And he preached in the northern kingdom of Judah. And in the 13th year of Josiah, now Josiah was the little boy king. He became king when he was 8 years old. So Josiah was 21 years old when Jeremiah started preaching. And as Jeremiah preached in that nation, they had a real time of revival underneath Josiah. What they did is underneath him and the revival, they went throughout the land. They got rid of all the idols, all the statues, and all the different things that the people worshiped. They gathered them all up and they burned them and they destroyed them. They not only did that, but they went into the temple. And they began to rebuild the temple and to fix it up and to repair the places that were broken down. And they cleaned it out. They cleaned out the house of God and made it a house of God again. As they were cleaning out the temple, they found the Bible. Not the whole Bible as we have it today, but the parts of the Old Testament. And they brought it before the king and they read it before the king. And the Bible says the king ripped his clothes, put on sackcloth as a sign of mourning, and he says, "I'm not the only one that needs to hear the word of God. Everybody needs to hear it." So he called all the people together, and they publicly read the word of God before the king and all the people, and the people stood, and the king stood, and made some holy vows unto God to be a king that always served God. In Josiah's time, when they had this revival, they observed the Passover. First time they'd observed the Passover in many, many years. In fact, you go back and you read it in the book of Chronicles, in the Second Chronicles, in the book of Second Kings, And the way the Bible describes it, it says there hadn't been a Passover held like that for many, many years. Now, all that was happening when Jeremiah was a young preacher, when Josiah was king. Now it's 35 years later. You know, I used to think 35 years was a long time. I can remember when I was in my early 20s and there was a man at work celebrating his 35th year with General Motors. And I went up to him and I said something smart. I said, "Jim, you've been working for GM longer than I've been living." And he just gave me a dirty look. And I can't say that anymore because I'm past 35 and past 45 and almost as old as Sam is. But 35 years now has passed in the life of Jeremiah. Things have changed. The nation of Judah has followed the nation of Israel into sin. They've been taken captive by the Babylonians. The temple has been destroyed. The people of God have been dispersed. They've been taken away into a foreign land. And the only people that are just a handful of people left in Jerusalem. The walls are tore down. The temple's destroyed. And Jeremiah, as the weeping prophet, that's what he's weeping. That's what the book of Lamentations is. It's his lamentations over the destruction of Jerusalem and over the destruction of the temple. And he says in the very last verse of that book, "Renew our days as of old." What he's saying, God, I wish you'd bring back the good old days. I wish you'd bring back the good old days when your people were together in your city and your temple was still standing. And we were going into your temple and we were singing your praises and we were worshiping you and reading your word. I wish the people hadn't sinned. I wish you hadn't had to punish us. I wish, God, that you could bring back the good old days. Renew our days as of old. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. There's some things about the good old days that, as far as I'm concerned, can stay in the good old days. Now, if you want to say amen to some of these, I think it'd be okay. Well, wait till I mention them, Brother Lauren. As far as I'm concerned, outhouses can stay in the good old days. I can't imagine what it would be like to go out in the middle of December into an unheated outhouse in the middle of the night and do what you have to do. I'm glad that we have indoor plumbing today. That can stay in the good old days. I'm glad that we have bathtubs and showers. I can remember my grandfather talking about taking a Saturday night bath in a tub a little bit bigger than that, and he was the last one to take the bath in the tub. It was his dad, then his mom, his older sister, and then him. And I'm glad that that practice is in the past, and as far as I'm concerned, it can stay in the good old days. I like a good hot shower. Not following anybody, but a good hot shower that I can take. As far as I'm concerned, wood stoves, except when you want to have a day like today, but wood stoves can stay in the past. I like to get up in the morning and be able to turn the electricity on and have stuff heat up without having to build a fire in the stove. As far as I'm concerned, wells can stay in the good old days. And pumps. I'm glad that we don't have to go out to the well and get our water. I'm glad all we have to do is go over and turn on the faucet and water comes out of the spigot. I'm glad that horses and buggies are in the good old days and that we don't have to depend on them for transportation. I'm glad that we have cars and I'm glad that we have airplanes. And even though that's nice to ride in those, to reminisce about the good old days, I'm glad that we don't have to depend on horses and buggies and wagons to get us where we're going today. So there's some things about the good old days that, as far as I'm concerned, can stay in the good old days. But there's some things in the good old days that I say like Jeremiah this morning, God, would you bring them back to us? Would you renew them in our day? Would you turn us and bring us back to these things that characterized the good old days in the United States of America? I want to mention four of them this morning. Number one, would you bring back old-fashioned decency to our country? There are things going on in our country today that even 35 years ago, when I was just a young lad, a little bit older than that, but 35 years ago, we would not put up with as a society. And I pray to God that He would turn us and bring back to our nation some old-fashioned decency in the United States of America. I'm talking about things like having babies go ahead and be born, that instead of murdering them before they breathe their first breath. That's just old-fashioned decency, and we need a big dose of it in the United States of America today. I'm talking about what comes into our homes via TV. Now, I can't remember exactly how old I was when we got TV, and I'm sure we weren't the first one on the block to have it because we wouldn't afford it. And so some of you that will have to help me, was there TV 35 years ago? Okay, I'll depend on Dick. He's old. but... Well, I can remember when I was growing up, you could turn on the TV and you could see shows like Ozzie and Harriet and Donna Reed and Leave It to Beaver. And what we need is some old-fashioned decency to get shows like that back on TV instead of ungodly shows like Roseanne and Friends and all the other shows that tear down family values, that tear down the family, that tear down discipline, that tear down the moral fabric of our society. We need an old-fashioned dose of decency to clean up what comes into our homes on that television. We need an old-fashioned dose of decency to get men looking like men and women looking like women again. We ought to be able to tell the difference. I mean, and I don't want to offend any... Well, I don't care if I offend you or not. It's an old-fashioned day. You can just say it's part of the old-fashioned service. I'm against little boys and teenagers and having earrings and nose rings and belly rings, and if God wanted you to have holes there, He would have put holes there. Let's teach our young men and our boys to look like men, to look like men. And anyway, I'm going to stop before I do offend somebody. But let's teach them that. Let's give them an old-fashioned dose of decency and tell them what God intended for them to look like. Let's have an old-fashioned dose of decency. Let's call back the good old days when we used to have war heroes in the White House instead of draft dodgers. Let's call back the good old days. Let's get a dose of decency. And let's get back to the days when the only things open on Sunday were churches. You didn't have all these other things that you could go to because they weren't open on Sundays. Sundays was the Lord's Day, and people went to church as a family, and they worshiped God as a family. Let's bring back a dose of decency. Let's bring back the good old days when grandpa and grandma and mom and dad stayed at home and the children took care of them and didn't abandon them to a home. And again, I'm not against nursing homes. I think there are times that you need them. But I think there's a lot of elderly people living in nursing homes today that should be home with their families. And if we had any decency at all in this country, we'd learn how to take care of them. We used to. Let's get a dose of decency when men and women covered the parts of their body that should be covered and didn't go out in public in their pajamas and things worse than their pajamas. Let's get an old-fashioned dose of decency and get back to the days gone by. God, bring them back. We need them. And let's get an old-fashioned dose of decency when we used to sit on the porch at night. I can remember some of my favorite times. We went over on the east side of Detroit with my grandparents and sitting on the porch. We talked to the neighbors. We watched the cars go by. We watched the sunset. Better that than getting on the internet. And I'll tell you what, that's the next thing Satan is going to use to get at us. And I've been talking to three people that over the past 4 weeks that have gotten into things on the internet, and it's a habit just like drugs, and we need to be careful. And you need to put, if you've got them in your home, you need to put filters on them so that your kids can't get into some of the things that are coming across the computer. Let's get back to an old-fashioned kind of decency when we know what's coming into our homes. We know what our children is doing. And let's ask God to turn us, because only He can do it. Let's bring back the good old days. We need an old-fashioned dose of character. Character. I'm talking about when a person said that they were going to do something, they did it. When people made a promise to you, they kept their promise. When you could shake hands with a person and that was as good as signing a contract because you knew that person had character and would do exactly what he agreed to. Let's get back to where we have some character. Let's get back to the days to when a groom and a bride stand at the altar and they say, "I do," to one another. They have character and they mean it till death do us part, not until times get rough. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come rough times into any marriage. There, and I don't care, you may be the perfect husband and you may be married to the perfect wife, but there's going to come rough times in your marriage when you need character to keep you together. And what? And oh, God, I pray that you turn us again and put some character back into us so that we mean what we say. I'm talking about character, that when you take a job, you work hard at it and you do what you're hired to do and more than you're hired to do. I'm talking about character, where people go to work instead of depending on the government or instead of sponging off their families. When they get old enough to work, they go out to work and they work. Now again, I'm not preaching against people on welfare. I know there's some people that's the only way they can survive. But there's a lot of people that depend on their mom and dad, and they're depending on the government when they're old enough to get out and find a job. Say, "Oh, preacher, they can't find a job." Not today. You tell me you can't find a job, I'll take you this afternoon and I'll get you a job. It may be at McDonald's, it may be at Whoppers. Say, "Well, if you're too proud to work at McDonald's, then don't depend on somebody to feed you." We need an old-fashioned dose of character where people go out and make it and work to take care of themselves. And we need an old-fashioned dose of character where parents teach their children the difference between right and wrong, where parents discipline their children so that we start raising kids again that are disciplined, so that when they go to high school, they can worry about learning instead of worrying about getting shot. I don't blame the kids that pulled the trigger. I blame the parents that didn't teach them the difference between right and wrong and discipline them and make them obey. God, bring back the good old days. We need an old-fashioned dose of decency. We need an old-fashioned dose of character. Number three, we need an old-fashioned dose of learning what it is to praise God. Yeah, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. We're too reserved in our praise of God. I mean, when you go to a football game on Friday night and you hear the lunatics screaming for their team and they're yelling and they're urging their team on and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, or you go to a baseball game or a hockey game and you hear the same thing, and then you come to church and we're all like church mice. If we say amen, it's amen. Praise the Lord. You wouldn't say that at a football game. Can you imagine going to a football game, Steve? Steve plays football, and your fans say, "Go team!" Think you want to score the touchdown? We need to get back to what we used to have in churches, where people weren't afraid to say amen, where people weren't afraid to say praise the Lord, to where people felt God in their presence, and they wanted to praise Him. I can remember sitting as a kid in church on Sunday night when we would just sing for almost 45 minutes because nobody wanted to quit. And people would sing with all their heart and with all their voice. And I can remember turning around just seeing the smiles on everybody's faces as they sung praises to God. We need that today. Man, we need to realize that God saved us from hell, and we need some old-fashioned praise to let Him know that we love Him and appreciate Him. And then number four, we need some old-fashioned preachers that preach an old-fashioned gospel. Girls, sit up and listen to me. I'm almost done. Look right up this way. We need some old-fashioned preachers that preach the old-fashioned gospel. We got too many clergymen today, and women, by the way. We got too many reverends. We got too many pastors with letters after their name and not enough fire in their gut. And we need some old-fashioned preachers. The word preacher means proclaimer. It means somebody that shares good news. It means somebody that warns people. Paul Revere was a proclaimer when he went riding through the streets of Boston and he proclaimed, "The British are coming. Wake up! Defend your country! The British are coming!" Can you imagine what would have happened in our history if Paul Revere would have proclaimed like some preachers do today? The British are coming. The British are coming. Nobody would have woke up. Nobody would have taken arms. Nobody would have stood to fight. And we need some old-fashioned preachers that will throw reservation to the wind and take the Word of God and preach the Word of God like Jeremiah did, like Isaiah did, like the prophets of old did, like the preachers 30 and 40 and 50 years ago did. We need them today. We need some preachers that aren't afraid to call sin, sin. We need some preachers that will describe sin as God sees it, as wicked and vile. And when we look to our own righteousness as filthy rags, as he talks about it in Isaiah. Look, most sin is not a sickness. Most sin you can't blame your daddy and your mama for or your grandpa for. It's you're to blame. You're the one that made the choice. You're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need some proclaimers in 1999. And as we go into the new century, we need some proclaimers that will call sin, sin, and will preach about the punishment of sin, hell. Hell's a real place. Hell's a place prepared for all of those that turn their back on God and deny God and ignore the Savior. Hell is a place of fire. I feel sorry for these people that go to churches where the preacher never preaches about hell. Or he says, "Oh, it's just a figment of somebody's imagination. You don't need to worry about that place of fire." But I tell you what, I'd like to know what they think about their preacher if they die and go to hell. I'd like to know what they're going to think about their preacher and their Sunday school teacher and their church that never warned them about hell when they get to the fires of hell. And we need some proclaimers that will stand and proclaim hell is real. It's a place of fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. Where you'll live forever and ever and ever if you reject God. Hell's real. But we also need some old-fashioned proclaimers that remind people that Jesus loves them. We sang that song in Sunday school this morning, "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong." Yes. Jesus loves me. Jesus does love you. Every single person in this room, I don't care what kind of person you are here this morning, I can unreservedly say, I can truthfully say this morning, based on this book, that God loves every single person in this room. Amen. Every single person. He's not excluded anybody. He's not left anybody out. When He sent Jesus to die on Calvary, Jesus shed His blood for every single person in the whole wide world. The only reason that people go to hell is because they want to. Because they ignore the God that loves them. We need some old-fashioned proclaimers that will stand and proclaim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but by Him. You don't get to heaven by leading a good life. You don't get to heaven by getting baptized. You don't get to heaven by taking the Lord's Supper. You don't get to heaven by joining the church. You don't get to heaven because your mom and dad are Christians and you grew up in a Christian family. The only way that you get to heaven is that you receive Jesus as your Savior. And you depend on what He did on Calvary to pay the price of your sin. And then number five, bring back the good old days. We need some old-fashioned sinners that come to an old-fashioned altar and get saved. That decide they're going to trust what's written in this book and they're going to do what God tells them to do in this book. And instead of depending on what they can do for themselves, they're going to depend on what God did for them on Calvary. Let me ask you this morning. You don't have to raise your hands, but I'd like you to answer this question. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven this morning? Do you know for sure that if something happened this afternoon and you died and were killed and your life ended, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven to be with God? Don't answer that question out loud, but answer it in your mind. Are you sure? Do you know that if your life ended in the next few hours, do you know for sure that you go to be with God? You can know. That's what this book's all about. It's about knowing. You can know. And my prayer is this morning that nobody leaves, nobody walks through those doors without knowing that they're on their way to heaven. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what kind of life you've lived up to this point. I mean, this may be the first time you're in church. This may be, you may have come to church every Sunday of your life. It doesn't matter. What matters is what have you done with Jesus? Have you received Him? Are you depending on Him to make you right with God? And this morning, and we've had some fun this morning, and we've played some old songs and sung some old songs, and we're gonna have some fun this afternoon. But let me ask you, if you died before the day is over, would you go to heaven? Would you go to heaven? Don't think about anything else for the next couple of seconds, please. Would you go to heaven? If you die, would you go to be with God? And if not, if you can't answer that question, yes, I know. I know if something happened to me this afternoon and I die, I would go to heaven because I can look back on a time in my life when I told Jesus I was depending on Him and I was trusting Him to take away my sins and to make me right with my God. And if you can't look back at a time like that in your life, at a moment like that where you so told Jesus you were trusting Him, then before you leave this room this morning, what I'd like you to do is try Him. Put Him to the test. Don't leave this place this morning without trusting Christ. Say, I don't understand it. I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. Well, come and talk to me and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. And there's other people here that'll tell you what I'm talking about. We'll show you from the Bible what the Bible has to say about sin and the penalty for that sin and how to let Jesus pay the penalty for that sin. But we can't make that decision for you. You have to make it. And I would encourage every single person here to answer that question before you leave. Are you on your way to heaven? If you died today, would you go to heaven? David said, we don't know how long our life's going to last. There's just a shadow between me and death. And that's true of every single person in this room. Just a shadow between us and death. It could come just like that. Say, oh, Brother Darrell, I don't think you should scare people into accepting Christ. Why not? Why not? I'd rather scare you into heaven than not scare you and let you go to hell. Here's the question. Every person's got to answer. You can't leave without asking this question. If you died today, will you go to heaven? The only way you can answer that question in the affirmative is to trust Jesus. And I invite you to do that right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us a book that makes it so plain that we're all sinners, that the penalty for that sin is death, but that Jesus paid that penalty for us when He went to the cross. He suffered and He died and He spilt His blood. And right now He offers to every person the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Father, I pray for that person that might be here this morning that doesn't know Jesus. Help them to face the question honestly. If they died today without Christ, they'd go to hell. And Father, I pray that nobody would leave this room this morning without knowing that they're on their way to heaven. Holy Spirit, would you talk to people? Would you convince them of the truth of the gospel And would you help them decide to receive Christ? And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray that you would speak to us. Maybe there's some here that haven't been baptized since they've been saved. Maybe there's some here that you're talking to about joining the church. Maybe there's some here that have some sin in their life that they need to get rid of. Maybe there's some here that you're calling into special service. I pray that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit, and you would instruct us, and we would do what you tell us to do. Bless the invitation. Use it, oh God, and we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.